is a very lucky moment for me because almost all the panel and the panelists sitting here are actually friends, partners, and people who are working with us, walking with us on this journey to add a million women to India's workforce by 2025. How are we doing it? We're doing it through the power of communities and networks. We are motivating women to enter and stay in the workforce. But enough about that. This is a complete power-packed panel that we have, and I'm going to introduce all of them a little bit to you. But before that, I'm going to tell you a small story. It's actually not a story. It's a real life incident. So at Aspire for Her, we just launched our 18th community yesterday, and that was the Women in FinTech community. But one of the communities that we work very strongly with is with our wonderful partners, Amazon Web Services, and that's called Tech for Her. Very proud to have Amit Mehta here, Head of Education and Knowledge in Amazon Web Services in India. Amit, you can say hi to everyone.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, the story begins with a lady. She is a housewife in Vizag, and she has just found out she spent 1 year of her life working and the next 18 years bringing up a family. She has just found out that her husband has got detected for Parkinson's. It's a very rude shock to her, and she's wondering what to do. So she decides that she will just use something that all of us use to check what all she could do to be financially independent. And that's when another member of the panel joins, and I will introduce her to you. Her name is Roma Datta, and she leads Google in India. And Roma, she goes on to Google, she checks Aspire for Her, and she realizes that she can perhaps join a community like Aspire for Her to be a part of something bigger. So warm welcome to you, Roma.
Hi, so happy to be here.
Usha then joins the community and starts doing courses which Google has provided. And she then joins this amazing community called Tech for Her, where we are actually running a cohort to teach her about cloud skills. And that's what Amazon is doing with us. And I'm sure Amit will talk a little bit about that. Usha then, to cut a long story short, Usha then goes on to LinkedIn, and we have the head of LinkedIn India here, Ashutosh Gupta, and decides that she would talk about her work and the way in which she's progressing. And very soon, Usha graduates from the cohort, gets a job, gets an internship at none other than AWS, Amazon itself, which is one of the most difficult organizations to crack into, and then ensures that she converts that internship into an employment opportunity. And today, Usha is a proud employee of Amazon Web Services. This is a woman who had an 18-year career gap. She had worked only for 1 year in her life, and here she is using all your resources of your wonderful organizations and actually making a great career for herself. And that also leaves me a couple of other members in my panel, and I'll bring them into the story as well. So Usha today is financially independent, and therefore she is obviously using one of the products of one of the people in this panel very, very frequently, because the most valuable things in life are free, but for everything else, there is MasterCard. And a warm welcome to Nitendra Rajput from MasterCard. He runs the AI Garage in India, and he has 50 patents to his name. And I am very sure that the story and the community work that's being done across the country will find way into the KPMG knowledge management space, which is headed by Honey Goel. Honey, you can just raise your hand. And so that's Honey, that's the other part of the panel. And all the impact that we create, and we work very closely together, is run by Impact Tree. Impact Tree, the founder and CEO of Impact Tree, is right here with us. That is Rajashree Sai for all of you guys. So that's my panel, and I thought I would do a little different introduction of the panel so that you guys actually get to know the panel through my story. But I will quickly now move on to questions and any stories that you'd like to talk about. I love the last panel who talked a lot about how well stories and role models are used to inspire, motivate, and build careers for women, especially in the tech world. So we will probably start with that. And Amit, maybe I will start with you. We go back a long way, and we work for the Tech for Her community together. Amazon has been amazing partners for us. And I think if there was one person in the room who has always been a champion for women, the patron saint for women in technology, that is Amit Mehta for you. So Amit, over to you.
I'm no saint, by the way. But yeah, I'm, listen, very passionate, and I come to you with an urgency and an invitation. So clearly, you know, I saw something there which is really at the core of what we do at DNI at Amazon, which is essentially saying diversity is good for business. And it makes business sense to ensure that we have a diverse representation, whether it is women, LGBTQ, PWD, or across section of people, because they add value. Now, one of the programs that we do, so my role in India is to really ensure that as India looks to become a trillion dollar economy, is there enough talent pool? Can we harness the talent pool and the dividend that we talk about? And that's my role. At Amazon, our focus is to help builders build a better India. Now, in doing that, one of the things we really struggle with is we need about 2.2 million cloud engineers by 2025. The supply side says we can provide only 1.4 million. And the difference becomes wider when you look at skills like AI, when you look at skills like data scientists, etc. So the question is, where do you get the talent pool from? One clearly is the STEM student, about 2 million of our students there. We've got about 4.7 million workers in the IT workforce and BPM space, upskill them. But a third dimension that we started to look at was, listen, can we expand the size of the talent pool? And that essentially meant there were a lot of women who had taken sabbatical from work. There were a lot of women who wanted to, for instance, COVID, hospitality industry took a beating. They wanted to move from hospitality to tech. Just the work that India has done on digitization is forcing a lot of women to look at tech in a big way. But they don't have any background. Then we have unemployed youth, underemployed youth. And we started a cohort. We have a program called AWS Restart, where the focus is we take the learner for a 12-week intensive 9-to-5 program, teach them fundamentals of cloud, of IT, give them software skills, and then also look at their certification. So we started our cohort. To be honest, I didn't know at the time. You know, many a times you get to do things. You know, here is diversity and initiative, so let it be another initiative. And to be honest, when I started it, I didn't know the impact that it will bring. And today, when I look at students and hear their stories, you know, it kind of validates what we do. So for instance, she talked about Usha. She's now in Amazon. We have students who have battled. You know, we have a team member who joined us. And she was battling divorce. She's based out of western part of India. She was having a very troublesome issue in a marriage. She needed to provide for the family. She was looking at opportunities. And lo and behold, she looked at Aspire for Her. She looked at the cohort that we were talking about. She enrolled in the cohort. Not only did she manage her personal issues, but she expressed a desire that at some point in time, she'd like to be part of this team. And call it synchronicity. She's now part of our team teaching. Her name is Parna, and she teaches cohorts. Another example, Gayatri. Gayatri lost her husband in COVID. Again, 8-year-old child, doesn't know what to do, looked at different odd jobs, no major IT background, looked at Aspire for Her, came into the cohort, and now she's kind of, you know, looking at some great opportunities. Woman at work, you know, another example, Priya Rathore, she'd taken a sabbatical from work, wanted to come back to IT just because of all the work that we do. And she got in, you know, she got into the cohort, now she got a job at Capgemini. So of the, I think, 18-20 cohorts that we've done, the placement rate is fantastic because, mind you, each organization has a goal for diversity, which is why I kind of close this by saying we are in a perfect storm. there is the magic of India. The India digital stack has driven digitization and showing the way to the world. There's a demand supply gap for the first time. And here we have a talent pool. So good part is, in the India IT sector, about 36% of women participation in workforce, higher than the other sector. In the internet businesses, what we really power, it's about 38%. So I think your opportunity to really come up. So if you're in any way associated with this passion, join us and we'll kind of make magic together.
Thank you so much. And that's true Amit style for you. Not only statistics and data, but also stories of Usha and Parna and Gayatri and Priya Rathore. And these are the real stories that make our days, that make us sleep well at night, and that help us have dreams for tomorrow. So thank you so much for that, Amit. And with that, I'm going to move to Nitendra. Nitendra, you're doing some amazing work on inclusive entrepreneurship options for women. And of course, MasterCard, is famous for doing so much of good work. And you have 50 patents to your name. So tell us what you're doing at MasterCard to reduce the gender divide.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I'm glad to be here. I would start by saying that, yesterday was Janmashtami, which is when we do all the Krishna type of chants. So today morning, incidentally, so the next festival in India is going to be Navratri. So which is when we celebrate the divine in a female form. And incidentally, I was chanting this chant in the morning, which is Ya Devi Sarvabhuteshu Shakti Rupena Sansthita Namastasyai 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 Namo Nama. If you guys don't understand, that's okay, because most of them would have not understood either. But what it means is that I bow to the infinite, the divine female form in the form of Shakti, which is power. And then this chant again repeats by saying that Shakti Rupen, after that it is Gyan Rupen, which is intelligence, Buddhi Rupen, which is wisdom, and so on and so forth, right? So it is, in some sense, this is a chant from one of the Rig Vedas, actually, which is equivalent of a Bible for us. It's just that we have too many of them. But in some sense, it is in the Indian culture to actually celebrate and also recognize with the strong power that women bring in. And that is what we have to remember. And actually, I'm not too surprised, because why this happens, and we can also see it very practically. Now, assume that I am a person who is a runner, and if I go to the gym, there are people, what do they do is that they put some weights on their ankles. They are called anklets. 5 kg weight on the left side, 5 kg weight on the right side, and then they walk or run and so on, right? At times, you would have seen, I don't know, some of you have seen this movie, Bhag Milkha Bhag, and this way there is a scene where he's in the mountains, he's trying to go up at the mountain, run against the mountain, and he ties a weight to his middle body part, a tire to his body part, so that he's running against that resistance. Now, in a race, nobody actually runs with these kind of things. But when you are practicing, you run against resistance. What it does is it strengthens your body, so that when you remove all that resistance, you will be the fastest runner around there. I won't say unfortunately, but whatever it is, the circumstances are such that women have this resistance throughout their lives. They have these resistance in the form of the family that they have. Maybe they don't want to support as much. The surrounding in which they live, maybe it's not as safe, and so on and so forth. They grow with that resistance. They grow, okay? Now, as you're asking what MasterCard does in some sense, what it does, or a good organization can do, is, and MasterCard has been in like the great place to work for women for many years now, what all you need to do is to remove those resistances. That strength automatically comes out. And that's what we've seen consistently. And that's the power that we've recognized. And the only thing that we have to do is to identify how to remove those resistances, which means you provide an environment that is safer, which means you provide an environment that actually considers you as you, rather than trying to make equal to someone else, and so on and so forth. And very important point that Amit actually said, if you have two people, one of them who would run this race, who'd done this practice with all those resistance bands, and now you are removing those resistance bands, and the other one who's not, definitely the one who's going to perform better is the one who had that resistance, because that person has the strength. So it makes business sense to actually have employees who are stronger, who can perform much better in races of life. not only business sense, perhaps it is important for a country to have such people who can actually perform at that level. Not only country, perhaps this whole world needs such people who are so strong and powerful. The only thing, we don't need to train them, we don't need to do anything else, they have all the power in them. The only thing we need to do is to untie those weights and resistances, and everything will come up on its own, I believe.
That's a brilliant picture. Roma, I move to you now. And we all know that Google is one of the best workplaces in the world for women, for men. And there are so many things that you're doing for your clients. And all of us are users. What are you doing for reduction of the gender divide?
Now, before I answer your question, congratulations on our equitable panel. It's great to see three men in the panel. I do believe that we can't solve anything in isolation. And it's very rare that I see men when it comes to DI panels. And it's very rare in my day job when I'm on a business panel to see women. So it's always a pleasure to see a good mix. So I joined Google in 2015. And that year, the number of women, so out of every 10 internet users, one was a woman. So 1/10, right? Today, the ratio is about 4-2. 4 out of every 10, little less than 4. But okay, we have made progress, still not 50-50. So in 2015, Google started Internet Sathi in partnership with Tata Trust, and it was all about getting women online. And the idea was that when women, girls have equal access to information, that's when the journey starts, right? So that's been a very, very interesting journey. I've had the privilege of watching that journey from close quarters. Having said that, the most beautiful part about Internet Sathi was for us to learn that the moment you give access to information, the moment women get access to information, they're not just watching videos and passing their time. They want to use that information to innovate, to create livelihood, to create something and things like that. So that led to an initiative called Women Will, which was really about business literacy. So how do we work with women and help them use technology to create some kind of employment, small entrepreneurship, etc. This really picked up pace during COVID, and that was a time when a lot of women were trying to do something online and make some money out of it and be economically independent. That also taught us that the more access women have to information, there's a very positive impact on the entire family. So, then they help helping the children study, so on and so forth. In my day job, I get to work with digital first businesses, government, media, telco. It's good to see the representation of women increasing. Having said that, there's a long road to go. There are two more initiatives which are very close to my heart when it comes to Google. One is DigiPivot, which is basically works with women professionals and helps them make a pivot in their career. We look at women with, say, 5, 7, 10 years of experience who would want to build careers in digital marketing. Why it's close to my heart is that Madhur and I used to be colleagues in our banking days. I spent about 1.5 decades in banking before making the pivot to tech. It happened after my second son was born, and I had maternity leave and time to introspect and think, reflect, and think about what I want to do next. And that seed got sown then. And that's why this initiative is very interesting. I've worked with some of the cohort members, and it's usually women who are, it's good to see some of them taking break to travel, etc. But 80% of the women are women who've taken a break after child. They are young moms wanting to come back to work, and now having a different expectation in terms of flexibility, etc., from work. So DigiPivot is the other one. We have completed 3 cohort. We start the fourth one now with 200 members. This is again in partnership with, obviously, all of that we do is with partners like you and many others. So DigiPivot is with HUL, ISB. They are providing the educational training part of it. HUL, Google is providing a lot of mentorship, leadership, coaching, etc., and Avatar. And the other one is really the work that is happening in the startup ecosystem, again, very close to what I do in my day job. This year, we had the first cohort of women founders accelerator. So Google has been running Startup Accelerator for a while, globally as well as in India. But March of this year, first cohort of 20 women founders graduated from the Startup Accelerator. And that's really, really amazing to see, because you know, the very few women founders that I get to work with, and when I visit their offices, you can really see the number of women on the floor. It makes a big difference to have representation at the top. So those are some of the initiatives that are going on.
Thank you so much, Roma. And women returnees form a big part of the work that we do as well. And we were very proud to be part of the first ever women founders cohort at Google. And with that, we'll move to, actually, I'll call you the man of the moment, because I think the number of times that LinkedIn was mentioned ever since we started this has been the maximum number of times that I could count. So Ashutosh heads LinkedIn in India. And Ashutosh, we'd love for you to talk a little bit about what LinkedIn is doing to balance the genders in tech.
Yeah. Oh, first of all, it's great to be here. I met Shelly at Empower 20, and she was talking about this, bringing this lounge, equality lounge, to India. So great job of bringing us together, Shelly. There's a topic which is very relevant for India. I'm going to talk slightly differently. I mean, I'm going to give you a data point which will hopefully help you understand how hiring happens on LinkedIn, and what's the difference between men and women when they see an open job post. It's a very... No, thank you. I think, and there's a lot of love for LinkedIn. Please continue that love. The community needs role models like each one of you. Community needs to hear from each one of you so that they get inspired and motivated to do more in this space. So coming back to the data point, so LinkedIn obviously is used very heavily for hiring. We looked at all the open jobs on the platform and said, let's see how men and women apply to these jobs. How do they look at these open jobs? So, by the way, when we look at the open jobs, men and women look at those jobs very similarly. They both equally open the jobs available to them. There was no difference in the open rate. But when it comes to apply rate, that was where there was a fascinating data point. So women apply less than men, 20% less than men. And we look deeper into it, saying, okay, why is that? So in any given job, there's always requirements. Let's say there are 10 requirements for the job in the job description. Men, if they're only they meet only 60% of the requirements, they're like, that's fine, let's just apply, we'll see what happens, right? Women, they self-screen themselves. They will only apply if they have at least 9 of those 10 or 10 out of 10. So you, by definition, the upper funnel is already impacted. More women are not applying, right? So that was a very important kind of insight for us. And I'll tell you how we use it to start changing some of the stuff. Second, usually when you apply for a job, you ask for referrals. Like, you know, you call up, you look up that person, which company, see you kind of find a friend or an ally who can help you get closer to the job. Men... you know, use referrals more than women. So I think there's a very famous quote which says that women are good at building relationships, bad at leveraging those relationships, right? So again, if you're not asking for those referrals, you are again kind of self-screening yourself out. The interesting data point is when we looked at the people who got the job, that's fascinating. Though the women applied less, they didn't ask for referrals, there were only few women in the lower funnel, they actually got more jobs than men, right? So it shows that if there are more women applying at the top, that inequality will go away or it will start to decrease, right? Now, how do you fix this, right? How do you solve for this? Of course, awareness, I talk about it all at all possible times whenever there's an opportunity. But second is something to what Amit was talking about, skills first hiring. We need to increase the pool. You cannot have a small pool available to the recruiters, and then by definition, the women will not get those jobs. How do you increase the pool? This is what LinkedIn is very passionate about. It's called skills first hiring. Don't hire for pedigree. Don't hire for all other factors. Hire just for the skills. What skills are needed for the job? By the way, our data shows that when you hire for skills, the pool increases for women by 26% globally, and in India by 29%. So, right, if you start hiring for skills, by definition, the pool is bigger. You get better opportunities to hire more women into the workforce, right? So those are the some of the interesting data points. I think, by the way, LinkedIn has so many of those interesting ones. I can keep going, but I'm just going to be respectful of the other panelists. So my ask is very simple, right? If all of you, one, please, I know a lot of you will hire or will apply for jobs, apply for all jobs. Don't skin yourself out at 90%, you know. And then second is when you're hiring, please hire for skills. Don't go with pedigree. Don't go with where this person has passed out from. I call this templatized hiring. You already know before you hire what you want. And what's the point of hiring, right? I want somebody from X school, from Y company. You have not even talked about the skills, right? So please think about skills first hiring for your own hiring. So those are a couple of data points, Roma, I thought I'll share.
Thank you, that's brilliant. Don't self-screen yourself out. That's a message that we take from the LinkedIn boss here. And with that, we move to you, honey. You know, KPMG and knowledge, that is an ocean of knowledge that you have to navigate. So what do you do and what are you doing for women?
Hi. So I would like to build up on where Nitendra has said and Ashutosh has said. I was listening very intently to when they spoke about the resistances women face, and then I'll come to what we do at KPMG for that. So Nitendra spoke about the societal and cultural resistances, and Ashutosh spoke about the internal resistance that a woman faces. So I believe that, you know, the woman is at the core, and at the core, she can have support from society, she can have support from her workplace on the other end, and a lot of things are being done at organizations like Amazon, Google, LinkedIn, and many more. However, a woman has to overcome her resistances herself, which is inside of her. So she has been conditioned from her childhood and continues to be conditioned, at least till my generation, that home first, or, you know, you are the sacrifice goddess, just like Nitendra was mentioning. So that kind of a mindset needs to go. So I was just quickly chatting with Ashutosh a while back, and I was telling him that in organizations, we need to not only work on the woman in terms of enhancing her skill set, giving her those work opportunities, challenging at work, equal parity, all of those things is fine. We also need to work on her family members. So that is very important. Somebody, you know, when I was telling him my personal experience that when during COVID my awards or my accomplishments started coming home, I could see a stark difference in, you know, my children, my spouse, or my other family members. So basically, what you have to do is you also have to celebrate women and their victory, their hard work, along with their families and organizations. And that's what we do at KPMG as well. Now, in terms of a woman being at the core and her inside motivation being the strongest force, which it is always, a woman is a born go-getter. We just have to harness that skill set and potential in the woman. In the words of Nivruti Rai, when she was, you know, giving an interview and she echoed a poem by Jigar Muradabadi, she said, "Hum wo nahi jise zamana banata hai, hum khud apna zamana banate hai dil," which means we forge our destiny ourselves. And that is so true. This was also said to me a few years back by a senior partner in KPMG, a female senior partner. Very simple 6 words. She said, "Your career is in your hands." And that is the message that I want to give to every woman who is listening to this panel right now or not listening to this panel right now, that unless you raise your hand, unless you realize your own potential, unless you give up that sacrifice goddess kind of a thing that's there in your mind or has been fed by the society, no matter what efforts are being done by someone, success is not going to come on a plate. We need to identify our strengths, our skill set, and pave the way for our success ourselves. And that's where KPMG helps a woman right from the start, from her hiring phase to the topmost career ladder that she reaches. So some of the important points over there would be that, like, at the time of hiring, what we strongly work on are removal of any kinds of biases. We educate our staff from top to bottom on what could be the biases at the time of hiring so that there is no bias towards a woman or towards any other criteria. Then in the first few years of her hiring and continuously while she's working, she's given enough work opportunities, she just has to ask for it. I have a personal experience on that as well. I was first in a client-facing role, and then when I started finding it difficult, I reached out to my HR and I said, I want a more stable kind of a role, but I want to be interested in that. I became the lead for knowledge management, and I love my job at present. I am very happy and very interested about it. Then next, after that, you know, there are certain situations where a woman needs more support, like it could be a maternity leave or it could be an extended leave during marriage and all. So in these situations as well, it is a very important part played by the organization and by the reporting manager, where the person can continuously coach the woman, understand her challenges that she is facing, and also be in continuous touch in case she is on a short break from her work. And the organization needs to create roles that suit the different situations that the woman is in and parts of her life's career. So once we do that and we provide those enough opportunities to a woman, I don't think there is any limit. She can definitely break the glass ceiling if she believes in herself. So I would like to repeat that your career is in your hands.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Shani. And with that, we'll come to the last and the person who actually creates maximum impact, because her organization itself is called Impact Tree. My dear friend Rajshree Sai, who works with us very closely, is a close partner working with us in the heartland of rural Maharashtra and hopefully soon many, many other markets as well. Rajshree, you are a woman entrepreneur in the social sector. You are the founder and CEO of your organization. What are you doing differently in tech?
So since I'm the only entrepreneur in this panel, I think I will come with a very strong, and I'm glad I'm the end because I can take from all that you all just spoke. I think that as an entrepreneur, it's a very exciting opportunity currently, right? While there is a gender gap, and I did read yesterday that there's a high attrition of women in tech, I thought I'll come up with you with three data points that I'm seeing right now. 20%, as per a recent study in NASSCOM, 20% of women are starting tech enterprises in this country. And that is much higher than the startup rate of men, which is growing at 10% every year. We are growing at 20%. And if you look at a lot of our work, because we are working on data platforms and sustainability and social impact, what we've seen, why is this happening, right? 77% of people in rural UP today own phones. Women own phones, their own smartphones, because it's affordable to own it. 86% of them know what an internet is. Of course, it's a different story what they use it for. It's largely entertainment that they use it for. But I think that's where the opportunity lies. Because when you look at tech as a pyramid, on the top, there are companies working a lot towards deep tech and AI models. But there is a middle India. And that India is focusing a lot on tech enablement. And this is what women are leading. So if you see, we did a large program with the US State Department, and we found that out of women entrepreneurs, 73% of women entrepreneurs who become entrepreneurs actually go on to start something which has a social or sustainable mission to it. So what we need is to create that robust ecosystem of more number of us becoming entrepreneurs. While it will be great that we add to the workforce, where we can transform is when we teach women to lead. Because that's something me and Madhura have had multiple discussions on. Patriarchy is there across the world. It's there, and that's what it is. How do you get women to be smart about it? And that's where tech enablement comes. That's where it is, if women can build platforms that is focusing on making tech accessible, they can change the world. I'll give you a small example. In the initiative that Aspire for Her and Impact Tree, we did a longitudinal study through our big data platforms in rural Maharashtra. We saw that women started dropping off, they all would initiate enterprise. Within 1.5 years, you'll start seeing a drop. When we asked why, and we studied women over 3 years, we realized this is because everyone gives initial support for enterprises. You have NGOs, governments, corporates, everyone who's starting in the curve. So I initiate an enterprise, but after 1.5 years, I don't have support, I don't have access to capital, I start dropping off the net. So we started seeing, okay, what can we do for these entrepreneurs, right? And these are entrepreneurs who are doing work in rural Maharashtra, they're agriculturalists. We said, first, let's get them to believe they are entrepreneurs. So we coined the term Netri, and we said, you're a Netri, you're doing something in agriculture, 70% of this country does agriculture, what you do makes a difference. And women suddenly said, oh, I'm an entrepreneur. Now I said, okay, great, let's go to the mandi. We went to the mandi, where women get shortchanged mostly because they don't know how to do auctioning in mandis. So we told, hey, why don't you use a Kisan app initially and track mandi prices? They said, oh, we don't understand this. Then I said, I'll take you to the mandi. We went there, And first of all these women entering, all the men there, they were very surprised where 30 women entrepreneurs turn up in the mandi in an agricultural exchange in their village. And there what we started doing is we told women, see that goni of onion you sold in the morning, what did you sell it for? She said 20 rupees. Same goni was sold at 75 rupees at the mandi.
Wow.
And we said, because you don't know, that's the gap you're losing. Believe it or not, the women cohort we worked with, many of them today, study the Kisan app, study the graphical representation on that to understand when they should go to which mandi, geolocate it and sell. That's how we make a difference. And I think that's what we have to build on. We have to focus on getting them enabled to build their own technology products. And that way, we will actually reach the socio-economic and cultural goals this country wants.
Thank you so much. I am sorry we have overshot the time. Apologies, but this conversation was so fascinating that I don't think we could have done it in a shorter time. We had a very power-packed panel, your audience. We had Google, Amazon, KPMG, MasterCard, LinkedIn, and of course, the fantastic grassroots story brought by Impact Tree. Thank you very much to my wonderful panel. We look forward to chatting with you.